This podcast is brought to you by Villanova University on iTunes U. Please visit us on itunes.villanova.edu.
So thank you all for coming to the Data-Driven Careers presentation. I'm going to kick it off today. It's hopefully going to be a very great casual conversation about life in work as a woman in technology. Hopefully there's a diverse set of backgrounds here and hopefully a bunch of different experiences on what you have to look forward to, maybe some advice or some lessons learned along the way as well. I'll be moderating the session. My name is Alyssa Nazar. I'm a 2015 grad at Villanova. I majored in psychology, specializing in human-computer interaction, and went to DSB for my business and MIS minors as well. So I work now at Bloomberg as a business intelligence analyst and in technical operations. So I really enjoyed that, but I'll be moderating the session. We have a lot of great speakers lined up. So I'll just introduce them briefly, but you will for sure get a much greater perspective into their scope of experiences as we go through this discussion today. We'll leave time for questions at the end. If you have anything burning, though, throughout, feel free to raise your hand. Like I said, it's going to be a pretty casual conversation. I'll just be kind of prompting questions for the panelists to respond. No worries. So I'll just give a little background on everyone before we dive right in, so you can get kind of a sense of what everyone here is representing. So we have Laura, business intelligence and analytics consultant, and background again in marketing and MIS. So Laura, if you
Hi everyone.
Kelly, product development and digital workplace technology, BNY Mellon. Background in computer science here at Villanova. Michelle, risk assurance manager at PwC, background in accounting and information systems. And then Christina, information systems engineer, Vanguard, and background in computer science as well. So that's kind of who we are, what we're hoping to talk today, just kind of everyday life and work as a woman in technology. So since we're at Villanova, I think a great way to kick this off, maybe if you all can respond a little bit about how your academic background or maybe some of your career experiences prior to accepting your position after school or where you are now prepared you for going into a career in technology. So whoever wants to start right now.
I'll kick things off. Like I said, I majored in computer science here at Villanova, which meant that I had the opportunity to go to the Grace Hopper Conference a couple of times during my Villanova career, so junior year and senior year. So starting my junior year, I had just gone to the Villanova Career Fair, and I met Vanguard for the first time there, and then got to meet them again at the Grace Hopper Conference. There is a huge career fair there. There are thousands of people that attend, all women in technology. And as a result of that conference, had an in-person student visit day, landed my internship with Vanguard, which later turned into the start of my career post-grad. So that's how I ended up where I am. All of my experience in the workforce has been at Vanguard because Villanova gave me that opportunity to go to that conference.
I'll echo that process. I love that conference as well. Got to go with Villanova my junior and senior year as well. I was introduced to BNY Mellon. Does anybody know what BNY Mellon is? Just a quick question. As we're in the business school, anybody kind of that? So just to give some background on that, and then I promise I'll switch back to women in technology. But it is important to understand. So BNY Mellon is a financial institution, one of the largest in the world. Just for scale, 1/5 of every dollar goes through our systems every day, so pretty big. So when I got to Grace Hopper, a woman in tech conference, and I get approached by a bank, I'm like, yeah, like, okay, Google's over there, I'm good, thank you very much. But they had just won the top company for women in technology given by the Anita Borg Institute, which is a nonprofit for women in technology. So of course, once I heard that fact, I was a little more intrigued. I talked with this woman, Jen Wagner, who was my manager when I first started, who pitched this program of Digital Workplace, which was a new initiative at the bank focusing on employee-facing technology for productivity and efficiency sake. And I was like, yes, I'm in. So actually got my job offer at Grace Hopper for the Bank of New York. I've been there ever since, and I still work in that group. Did a rotational program, but went right back to that group. And I'm continually involved with Grace Hopper. I saw a bunch of you there this year. Where BNY Mellon actually didn't win top company, but we were actually number 6 on the list. So it's a great place to work. We're around 32% women in technology, and that's something I, near and dear to my heart that I continue to push for. So at Villanova, thank you for the opportunity to go to Grace Hopper, because it's been a continued journey for me throughout my career so far.
I can go next. So as Alyssa mentioned, I got my undergrad at Boston College in 2009 as an accounting and information systems major. But I also went to Villanova for my master's in accounting, and I graduated from the MSA program a year after graduating from BC. So familiar with Bartley, but maybe not as familiar with some of these women. My start and interest in technology really started my freshman year at BC. We had to take a bunch of different classes in a variety of different majors, which are very similar to Villanova. There was one about technology and business, and I really liked that. So that's what kind of drove me towards the accounting and information systems major. Then was approached on campus by PwC's risk assurance practice. It used to be called systems and process assurance, and now it's called risk assurance. So did an internship, and then after school accepted a full-time position. I worked in our Boston office for 6 years, and then about a year and a half ago I transferred to our Philadelphia office. So I've worked in a bunch of different offices, a bunch of different clients. The main focus of my day-to-day work is auditing. So a lot of people think of PwC as a financial statement audit tax firm, but there also is information technology auditing that goes along with every public company audit as well. So that's really what my day-to-day is focused on.
So I was in BSC. I came in fully expecting just to be a marketing major because I thought that was fun and creative. And then quickly learned in some of those intro classes that MIS was also a very feasible thing for me to major in. Actually did the analytics minor as well. I took a BI class at Villanova, which is very unique. Not a lot of schools offer a business intelligence class, where I got to use the technology that now I use every day in my job. Also, probably the only company up here people have never heard of. Theragun Associates is an independent consulting company, and we do IT consulting specifically in BI and analytics. So while you might not have heard of us, you've probably heard of some of our customers. We work with Unilever in the CPG space. We work with GSK and Pharma, Cigna and Health Insurance. So we do work with some big companies delivering BI solutions. My background at Villanova, I interned my junior year into senior year at SAP, right down the road. Loved it, had some really good female role models in my job doing web design. And then it got to the point of getting to a full-time job. They weren't really sure, weren't going to have an answer until April, which I was not prepared to wait for. So I actually talked to Professor Metzger about this job offer I had with a smaller company, take the risk or not, and I'm very happy that I did. So,
awesome. Thank you for your feedback. A little bit of interaction from the audience. We'd love to kind of get a sense of where you are right now and give the panelists a little insight as well. So I was wondering if you could raise your hand if you're a student at Villanova currently. Awesome. We definitely thought this might be a very student-heavy attendance. What if you're an alumni? Awesome. And any other participants here from the community, business, otherwise? Great. And then a little bit on your academic background as well, to kind of give feedback to the panelists as well here. Who here is business background, BSB? Awesome. Liberal arts, my personal. And nursing? Great. Engineering? Awesome. And anything else that I might have missed?
Science school.
Awesome. Okay, cool. So moving on forward, we have some little difference in what you do, so we'd love to hear a little bit about what your typical day looks like, because sometimes in technology it's a little hard to be predictable, but maybe we can look at some feedback.
I'll start. So I work, like most of you, at a global company, so that means my days sometimes start really early in the morning, or sometimes they go till really late at night. So the group that I work in, Digital Workplace Technology, is focused on the digitization of the employee technology experience. So we do have a client technology experience group. I actually work on the internal side. So don't think like traditional like IT, like I come and like go and fix your computer. No, I work on the product strategy side. So everything from the employee mobile experience to your desktop experience, to our enterprise social network. I'm really trying to figure out what is the most productive and efficient way for employees to do their job better, with the thinking that if employees do their job better, then we'll be able to better serve our clients and to grow our business. And one of our main focuses for the last 2 years that I've worked there has been innovation and collaboration. So a big, huge part of my day is actually focused on building our collaboration services. That's kind of my arena. And if anybody knows me, they know I love social media. So this role worked out. It's pretty great. So we have an enterprise social networking tool at the bank that connects our 55,000 employees globally. And I'm responsible for the whole gamut of things with that product. I was talking to Julie Joyce, who also works at another financial institution. We were talking about Good, which if you think about, you know, financial institutions exchanging information, there obviously has to be some security around that. So I'm not one of the other products that I kind of manage, but it's my day-to-day job to kind of piece together all the different technology products that we can all federally have, like regulated have, but then also comparatively to the consumer experience. So we can't bring just like Gmail into the bank. That's not how that works. So that's a challenge, right? So it's kind of like a puzzle every day, figuring out what we can have and what we can't have, but also keeping in mind, you know, how to be safe, how to be risk aware, but also be innovative and collaborative. So it is a problem solving, more of a strategy problem solving job. I'm sure Dr. Papaliscari, who taught me the love of programming, is a little sad I'm not programming anymore. I have a great team of developers that I get to work with every day. So still keeping in that technical mindset, but definitely more focused on the product side and strategy side.
So at Vanguard, I'm in the technology leadership program, which is a rotational program. So my day-to-day has changed pretty drastically a few times already since I've been there. I've only been at Vanguard for a year and a half now since I graduated, plus my internship, but all in, I'm actually in my fourth role at Vanguard already. When I started, I was a mid-tier developer working on a business solution for our personal advisor services. Vanguard is a mutual fund company, but we also have financial advising. My first role in my full-time job was a UI developer, and then I moved into a data developer role. So I was working on COBOL, which if anyone in the room is familiar with that has been around forever. So that was a really interesting one to learn. I got to work with some people who have a ton of experience. I truly learned from the best. And now, in the past 2 months, I'm into a new role in Vanguard's Chief Technology Office, where I am working on cloud migration of a few of our services. So actually getting Vanguard's web services onto the public cloud. So much of my day-to-day is that hands-on programming work, but because I'm in the leadership program, sometimes even more of my day is spent on leadership training and personal development. I'm working on developing the training curriculum for the new hires into the leadership program. There's a whole bunch of extra little side projects that I find myself involved in. Even our Women's Initiative for Leadership Success at Vanguard is something that I'm heavily involved with, and I work on planning a few different events with that organization as well. So the day-to-day is not just sitting at my desk and writing code. There's a lot of collaboration, both in my rotational work and outside of it in all my side projects.
Real quick on that, we talked a lot in that session about protecting your value. Something you do and you hear a lot in school is like, get involved in everything you can. Get involved with every extracurricular, join clubs, do all this. The same applies to work. Networking is just as part of your job as your actual like functional role. And that was something that I got told when I first started. So just like Christina, involved with women in technology, involved with our just diversity and inclusion programs, our cross-bank relationships. So as many clubs as you're in at Villanova or wherever you're in school, join those clubs at your company. That network and that kind of just pride in where you work will definitely help you. And that was something I learned, you know, listening to what we just heard. Just a quick tip.
So when Alyssa asked us this question a few days ago, I laughed because I really don't have a typical day. I would say that's probably one of my favorite things about my job is that I'm in a different place working with a different team for a different boss every single day. This past week I went to 4 different clients, I was in the office one day, and I worked from home one day. So it's really nothing typical about it each day. The work that we're doing, I mentioned earlier, is around auditing of information systems in IT. So
that really is the same, but I have a portfolio of 10 plus clients that I work with on a day-to-day basis, meeting with different people at different places, again, working with different teams, so it's really exciting to, you know, get to talk to different people every day. That's one of the main things I really love about my job. The other thing is, you know, I've worked in a couple of different offices, so that was a challenge, but also fun at the same time to kind of switch clients, switch teams, meet a whole new set of faces. Got to travel a lot domestically as well as internationally, so that's another part of my job that I love. Obviously, a lot of information technology is being offshore for a lot of companies, so I've got to travel to India a bunch of times to visit a lot of my clients' offshore locations as well. So that's been you know, a great perk of being in the technology field, is getting to visit all of the cool places where, you know, companies are using those types of centers. Another side of my job, it's not the main focus, but PwC does have a consulting practice within risk assurance. So, you know, my main focus is on the audit side, but I have gotten the opportunity to work on a few consulting projects in the information technology space as well. So, you know, it's not all day-to-day auditing. Our clients, you know, obviously don't like auditors coming in and telling them how to do their job every day and what they're doing wrong. So it's nice to have the opportunity to work on a couple of different projects where you're actually helping and consulting your clients in their technology space as well.
So in my role, the crux of BI and analytics is taking all of the massive amounts of data people are collecting, putting it in a more consumable form, like dashboards or reporting. So at the very kind of foundation of my job, while MIS did give me some exposure to the technical side, this by no means computer science. So going into the job, they do have a very formal training, about 6 weeks, where they teach you kind of the range of technologies that we work with. So Microsoft, Tableau, ClickView, any of those ring bells for people. So day in and day out, I'm usually developing in those technologies for customers. But that being said, it's not siloed, so I'm on calls with customers, I'm on site with customers, working alongside of them to understand what are the business questions that they're trying to answer with their data, and building a solution that works for them. Similar to the other panelists here, we do have resources at our company that work in Bangalore, India, so some of those early morning calls at 7:30, you start your morning working with them, but that gives you the ability to kind of have full coverage that they're developing things while you're sleeping at night, and then the next day you can kind of carry it forward, which makes it really interesting. The other thing about Thoroughgood is that we also believe in consultant-led marketing and selling, so we have the opportunity to learn more about other technologies through marketing events. So even if there isn't a client use case at that point in time, for right now cloud is a huge thing in this industry, we have the opportunity to learn about that and present webcasts and workshops that might be interesting to other customers, as well as recruitment. I've been on campus a few times over the past year. And selling activities as well. So it kind of fluctuates. Majority, I would say, is project work and actually developing, but there are a lot of other aspects.
Yeah. I think a big trend in technology is usually the way your work is never the same one day after another, and in combination with the flexibility and all the stuff that you get to learn throughout as well, and that's something that I have found as well working at Bloomberg in technology. So, as your experience in the workplace right now, I think it'd be interesting to hear about what skills you think are really helpful and how do you succeed, and then looking forward into where you see tech going, what other skills would you suggest to best hang in as well?
So skills that have helped me thus far, I think obviously just the way of thinking that computer science lends itself to. Obviously, I'm not programming day to day. But I think just that logical thinking skill, that critical thinking skill, that objectiveness and problem solving has really helped me kind of, you know, advance a little bit. And then also, when I was going over here, I was a member of the rowing team. So just that team aspect that carried me through Villanova has really carried me through, you know, so thus far in my career, just being a team player, understanding that, you know, we are a team, we are one company, we're working for these goals. You hear it a lot, that people are our best asset. You know, you hear that thrown around all the time. But for me, it is true. I absolutely love the people I work with, so relationship building and networking is really important to me. On the skills I think that, you know, we need, where I see not necessarily technology going, but just skills that, you know, a 2017 employee needs to have, I think there's a couple things. And feel free to jump in at any time. I think the ability, and this is, sounds crazy, but the ability to search and find is absolutely critical. Everyone's probably laughing, like, yes, Kelly, I know how to use Google. But seriously, the ability, you know, with everything going on, the ability to search and find the right information will absolutely help you do your job better. And on that, curation of what you're reading, what you're doing, where you are, just an awareness of what's going on in the industry, in your own industry, in other industries. So just being really informed and being able to decipher, you know, everything. I think those are two, you know, digital skills. And the whole gamut of digital literacy, I think that that's going to be so important in 2017. Coming in as a millennial, right, I think it's kind of understood that we have those skills, but that's not to say that there's not room to grow. So that's something, one of my goals, personal goals for 2017, is to put my phone down and listen a little bit more, you know, just to my team members. So I think those skills in terms of digital literacy is something that's really interesting to me and something that I definitely see the need for in 2017.
So I'll give you two. One very specific to my role and the roles that I've had, and that is for anyone that's looking to go into a role where you will be writing code or doing anything in the IT space, I think the one gap that I felt was automated testing. I think it's so critical to understand automated testing because everything now is just moving so fast. Technology is moving quickly. Everyone is, you see it on your iPhone, you get the App Store updates like every single week for apps. And how are they moving so quickly? Because their code is incredibly well tested. So you need to have an understanding of automated testing if you're going to go into a role where you're writing code. And then more broadly, for any role that you're going to go into, I think communication skills are crucial. There are so many times in my job where I get the credit is not from doing the work, writing the code, and executing well. It's from sharing that and presenting it and being able to communicate to others, especially those who aren't necessarily very technical people, explain to them what I did and have them understand what I did so that they can be thoroughly impressed by what I've been able to pull off. So making sure that you can communicate your own accomplishments and communicate them well and in a way that people are impressed not only by what you've done but by your presence is really important. So taking all of those opportunities that you can to get presentation experience, to get collaboration experience. So not everyone loves working on group projects, but it's so critical because in the real world, every single project is a group project. I think that is the most critical skill that you can learn.
So in my job, client service, I think the most important thing is just staying up to date on your clients. Whether they're in the news, good or bad, related to their technology, it's extremely important. You want to make sure that you sound informed and aware, as well as invested in their technology, you know, making sure that you're providing good recommendations to them. So staying up to date on the news, reading the news, not just kind of going through the day-to-day, checking the boxes, taking a little bit of extra time out of your day to read the Wall Street Journal headlines or some other publication to make sure that, you know, you're staying informed. On the flip side of that, I think in technology there's obviously so much going on. It's such a hot topic and there's so many technical aspects to it that I think having the ability to say that you don't know the answer when someone asks you the question is okay. Chances are, I mean, PwC is about 30+ thousand people, there's someone at PwC that knows the answer if someone asks me a question that I don't know. So really being able to say, you know, I don't know the answer because it's very technical, but I will find the answer, I think that's one of the skills that I've kind of tried to learn as much as possible, just because technology is so technical. I know that's kind of redundant, but there are so many specifics that, you know, unless you're in that 24 hours a day in that one specific area, you might not know it as well as someone else does.
Yeah, I would echo pretty much everything that they've said. Problem solving, communication, teamwork are things that I do every day. The other thing is kind of that initiative to and willingness to learn. So a year and a half ago when I started my job, I started using Tableau pretty consistently on on-premise databases, so Teradata and SQL Server. And just in that year and a half, now we're starting to see client interest of let's go to AWS, let's go to Azure, let's go to the cloud, and now that's changing everything about how we're doing business and the skills that I need to deliver to those clients. So if you like learning new things and seeing how much technology can change in entire industries, then that's like absolutely a critical skill that you need.
Definitely agree with the panelists and the skills. And there's a lot of different ways, a lot of different skills that can apply to technology. So just continuing to advance your skills. But one thing that's talked about a lot in tech, and in particular for women in technology, sometimes is imposter syndrome or having it hard, kind of feeling like you don't belong or the difficulty of feeling a part of the technology space in particular. So I'd be interested on, especially since this is some of the younger audience, some women in technology and other people in technology as well, what your perspective on that would be, or maybe if you have any perspectives on that sort of feeling, advice you give, or any challenges that you faced in the workplace and how you overcame them. A lot, but whatever.
It's hard. I mean, yeah. Imposter syndrome is something that I think it's certainly much more common in women, and it's something that a lot of us deal with every single day. There's really no way to get rid of feeling that way inside. It's making sure, though, that you are not acting based on those feelings and finding ways to reassure yourself of your own worth and of the value that you provide. So maybe that's surrounding yourself with the right people that are going to provide you with the right recognition, or keeping a list for yourself of your own accomplishments to review if you're feeling like, how did I get here? I really hope no one finds out that I'm not as good as they think I am, because you are as good as they think you are. They wouldn't have put you in the position that you're in if you weren't. So just finding ways to remind yourself of your own worth, I think, is really important. And a lot of that is going to come from being surrounded by people who are going to build you up and be worthy of you.
I think, too, the biggest thing that's helped me thus far is finding, weird way to think about it, but it probably makes sense. Think about having, like, your personal board of directors. Have any of you ever heard this concept? To me, it makes so much sense. Right, so you want to have, you know, you always hear find a mentor, but honestly, some of the mentorship programs are a little awkward, a little forced, and you just feel like you're like, we're supposed to talk about things, but I don't. So that happened to me when I first joined. I got a mentor who didn't connect, like did not see eye to eye, didn't really, I don't know, it was just awkward. So, but then I got introduced to this concept of a personal board of directors. If you think about it, each member of a board has a different function or has a different perspective, a different mindset, a different experience level. And so to have your board of people who have your best interest in mind, right, but also have those different different avenues, different channels, different job functions, different locations, any different way that you could have, you know, all these people who are rooting for you, but also on a very like personal level, like obviously I know all of them. And I don't call them my board. I never said that. I'm sure they all hate that. But to think to have, you know, those, you know, five or six people, you know, in your family, at your job, from school, you know, you have sponges that you really need to have those outlets. So if I do need help with, you know, an HR issue or I want to pay a raise, like, I'm going to go to this person because they've dealt with it. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, my mom's my mom, so I'm going to go talk to her. But I think to have that, like, just wide range of supporters, kind of like personal cheerleaders, like that's what you need. So to Christina's point, find those people, and if you think about it in a structured board-like way, that's something that's really helped me kind of just map it all out. That's something that, that's how my brain works, so I want it all mapped out and I want it structured. So some of the mentorship programs that are a little more, well, schedule time here, schedule time there, like that doesn't work for me. So just think about it in that way and to hold yourself to the standard that you are important enough to have a board of directors. Like, how awesome. I think for me that's been one way to think about it that it has really changed the game for me. So just to have that those people, those sponges around, this has been really, really helpful. Yeah.
I would guess that your board of directors would be flattered to hear you call them that. Right? Not many people get to be boards of directors. It's pretty flattering.
Yeah, I don't know where. I think my manager at the time
pitched that concept to me, and we had talked about it, and we had a really long discussion on it, and then we were like, well, this was supposed to be our, like, status update meeting. Didn't work out at all. Yeah, it's an interesting way and a different way of thinking about mentorship and sponsorship and concepts that you hear a lot in women in technology conversations. To me, those felt kind of far away. Like, they didn't really, I wanted to be, like, connected. So to have that, it made it a little more personal for me, so.
Yeah, I think obviously being a woman in business, a woman in technology is probably a little more challenging for our male counterparts. I know at PwC it's really been kind of a shift in mindset away from women versus men. So we've put in place a lot of committees for women, both formally and informally, to meet on a monthly basis or, ad hoc, whenever someone has a question. There's always a support system. Obviously, women have children, so there's also specific groups for working moms within our group to kind of make sure that when moms are coming back to work, that they still feel that they're supported and they're relevant and that, they want to keep working at the firm to make sure that we do have those women in leadership positions. Our new leader of the whole U.S. insurance practice is a woman, so PwC is really moving towards, fostering and supporting the women all the way up through our senior leaders. Obviously, you do have a formal coach as well as a partner that you meet with on more of that formal, kind of sometimes awkward force basis. But the mindset of those individuals is definitely changing to make sure that the women feel supported and, there's really eliminating that difference between men and women in the workforce.
So there's a couple things. First, I've been very fortunate to have strong female mentors, both in life and in work. My first internship, both of my bosses were women in technology, and they were very successful. And actually at my company, it is pretty split 50-50 men and women, and there's mutual respect there. So I would say find a female mentor or a male mentor, but finding a strong woman that you can kind of identify with and set that goal that you want to be like that person, I think has been really helpful for me. And the other thing is technology, as we've already said, is constantly evolving. And you might get on a call with a client and think, how am I supposed to talk about this? I've only been here a few months. But you already know more than you think you know, and not everybody knows as much as you might think they know. Because it is constantly changing. And I'll be on a call sometimes, and I'll mute it. And I'm like, what did they just say? And my senior manager, who's been there for 9 years, is like, yeah, no, that's not right. So you learn really quickly. You come out of this environment of being in college where you're taking different courses every semester, and you're learning constantly. So as long as you keep your mind open to learning things, admitting when you don't know something, but saying that you'll figure it out, and identifying that, like, you can be confident that you know enough to talk about it and that not everybody else has it all figured out, I think is really, really important.
Yeah. I think those are all excellent points, and you do hear a lot about this in the conversation going on about women in technology. One thing I'd add to is finding other female peers in technology as well, because it becomes really cathartic to message your friend in the company and be like, oh my God, I'm having a rough day, or I'm insecure about this at this moment, or I'm not sure what I'm doing. And there's always someone on the other side, and they're like, I feel the same way. So just in addition to building your seasoned expertise, people that can help guide you, just having someone on the same level to be able to talk to about it can be really helpful as well.
I think with the role model thing too, I think that's obviously very important. You always want to have people to strive with. I think, though, when choosing role models, it's hard to, like, at least for me, when I was looking at role models, especially at my company, there's a woman who just retired. She was the most powerful woman in baking in 2016. Like, obviously, I want to be the most powerful woman in the world. But I think it's interesting because obviously she's in baking. Like, some of her goals are not going to match up with mine. So when you look at role models, I would say choose, 5 or 6 role models and pick what you like and what you identify with. Making it, we heard, this morning about personalization. Like, that is so true. Anything you can do to personalize the experience, whether it is role models or mentorship or, are the way we interact with technology, I think that's going to be, it is, and it's going to continue to be, hate this word, but a game changer in the way that shaping the world of technology.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Any questions?
So I work at a sub 60 person company, and so if you end up in a situation right there, start a conversation with other women. So we started a private Slack channel. So it was a way to get the conversation started. And we started talking about other organizations like Tech Girls and what is it that we can do there. So even if it's small, even if you don't have the support, start it yourself.
Can we ask questions about other things too?
Yeah.
So I'm a senior in BSC, and I just accepted a job at as a consulting analyst for the Gerontology. Thanks, BSC. But I am a little nervous because I like more of a finance management background, and I kind of went through that career path and realized it wasn't for me, so I switched to technology, and I'm like very excited, and it was awesome to hear you guys talk about more of the softer side of skills that are necessary when you're starting out, just like being willing to learn and communicating. That's comforting to me, but I'm wondering also if there's any like hard technical skills you think that I could develop maybe just a little bit to start, and so that training isn't so much like a 0 to 60, like getting into those skills, or maybe if there's like books or podcasts or things that like I could do on my own to help me just start out a little bit ahead.
So you're consulting with IT specifically? Or?
The Deloitte Consulting Business Technology Analysis.
I connect a bit to this as well. I was a psychology major. I did have I did get minors in business and MIS, but I went into a technology role. So I was insecure, and I still find it hard sometimes to call myself a programmer, even though I actually do write code. So it's difficult. But I would say just sink your teeth into stuff that you're passionate about. For me, I'm not going to say that every data science thing is what captures my interest and joy, but there's going to be parts of technology that will excite you. I would dive into those. So don't force yourself to read things because you think that you should. Build up what interests you, and you'll end up finding your path for hard skills. You could always do a Code Academy class in anything. If you're working with data, SQL, but it sounds like you might not be. So just, yeah. You can always take a class, learn a little bit about writing code and programming or something like that. I'm not sure if you have any other suggestions for kind of building up some competencies before going into tech.
I would say what you're feeling is definitely very good. I don't think any of us felt like super prepared for what we're going into. I would say you probably will learn 95% of what you need to do your job once you get there. But if you are concerned and want to do something ahead of time, you could maybe reach out to whoever recruited you or who you'll be working with and just ask them, like, hey, what are the tools or what are the clients that I might be working on, so you can do a little bit of research and learning ahead of time.
Being on the hiring side now, that you're excited is probably the biggest reason that they hired you, because like you said, you learn most of what you do on the job, so they just want to know that you're willing to learn.
So I know a couple of you guys mentioned you went to Grace Hopper when you're at school. I graduated in 2013 and went my junior and senior year. Have any of you guys been able to go back after graduation with your company? And like, how like supportive were they? Was it something that you had to like push for, or was there already something in place? Yeah.
So I met my company at Grace Hopper. So obviously, and they had a pretty, I mean, it's not large comparatively to other companies, but it was 10 people. But since coming back, or like since being on the employee side of it, we've actually increased our perks. We have now 20 people. We all were on panels, live blogging. But I think it's just important that you know, like your personal, like share that. Like I, sitting in our planning meetings, they always looked to me as the, oh, well, you were an attendee. Like, what did you want? Mm-hmm. Like my first recommendation to the bank was, you know, they showed up their first year and okay, financial services, they all showed up in suits. Yeah. Like, not at all. And obviously that is our industry, so we have to be mindful of it. But at Grace Hopper, like, you know that atmosphere, you know what you were looking for, and you know how, you know, your interactions, all this, like, all the, like, cool Grace Hopper things that you know that you experience. You can't really, I mean, you can tell it because you showed share a story, but I think that should be your main focus. It's like, what other, you know, if there isn't a, like, women in technology, like, cohort, you know, start it. Just, like, yeah, Slack channel, like, start it. And just start that conversation and say, here's what I got out of it, here's why we should go, and here's what the potential is to move forward. I think just voicing that and being that, like, hey, guys, like, I know this exists. You know, share pictures, share anything you can. Just pitch it. I think that's the best way.
to, you know, get things moving forward.
Yeah, I also got to go back this year with Vanguard, and this time I was on the recruiting side, which was really exciting because just 2 years prior, I had been there speaking to the recruiters trying to get hired, and now here I was recruiting other people. There was an application process for that that was already in place. Vanguard is a very large company, so we do have processes in place. Our Women's Initiative for Leadership Success also sends a group of women every single year, and that group is growing in size with each year that Vanguard ups its participation at Grace Hopper. So if that's something that isn't already in place for you are. Grace Hopper is a big one, and it's also because of that an expensive one. Like we heard this morning, ask for it, try. If that doesn't go your way right away, try showing the value of attending conferences in general. Start with maybe the Pennsylvania Conference for Women or any other conference in the area that you can find. And once you've proven the value of attending things like those for recruiting purposes, for your own educational purposes and your personal development, you'll be able to ask for more based on that value proposition.
Two things on that too, really quickly. Grace Hopper, like the Anita Borg Institute,
yes.
So they have Grace Hopper One Day celebrations, and I'm almost positive there is a Philadelphia one. I can look and ask and get all the information for you. So anybody who's interested, it's a one day Grace Hopper. So Grace Hopper is this like 5 day long extravaganza, 17,000 people. It's insane. But they have in major cities, they have 1 day celebrations where local companies sponsor, come together. Really the same experience, just not at scale. So that could be a way, and it's much, 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 much cheaper. So if you could maybe go to that, bring someone, just to experience just the Anita Borg Institute in general, or Hopper in general, that's a good way. Second to Christina's point,
No, I'm just going to add another conference that's local. Is part of Philly Tech Week is Philly Women in Tech. It used to just be on a Saturday. Now it's a Friday and Saturday. Really cheap and no travel expenses because you drive. I mean, or you take the train.
Yeah.
So we end up being able to send a lot more people where the Grace Hopper is the travel expense and the conference expense. So if you can say, and even if you just go on the Saturday, it's your own time like this is. But, you know, we spent people for like, I don't know, $60-$75 or something. You get a group rate. You know, so we organize. This will be our third year of sending people.
And on that too, just with the whole like going to conferences things and going to seminars and just like, you know, we had all said earlier, like do things other than your job function. So as you are trying to learn, as you find an area of interest, like dive in, like go to everything you can, talk to everyone you can. I think for me that's been something that's been so beneficial. Like I had no understanding, honestly, I was a computer science major, and no understanding of how like financial services institutions work, like I will say. And they're all different, so there's a lot of moving pieces, but having those conversations, going to like the business lunch and learn, like they're like, you're in technology. I'm like, well, I need to know how our business works. Otherwise, this is going to be awful for everyone involved. But just finding what you're passionate about, so as you're trying to learn, right? But what are you interested in, like, your day-to-day? Like, go to a conference on that, and somehow it didn't work. But, I think that just in general, getting to hear different perspectives and seeing just how different companies do things is really, really powerful and will help you advance your career a lot.
Awesome. So thank you so much to our panel. We'll leave time for networking so you can follow up. But just got to wrap up. Thanks so much to our panelists for their engaging and